Welcome to the Diane McClay Show, empowering life through choice. Get ready to discover new perspectives, motivation, and balance through Diane's compassionate storytelling and insightful discussions. Whether you're feeling stuck and discouraged, or curious and looking for more possibilities, Diane has your back, and she's ready to take you on a journey of self-discovery and expansion. Choice is powerful, and so are you. The Diane McClay Show starts now.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday. Thanks for tuning in to Transformation Talk Radio and the Cornelia Stephanie Media Network. I am so happy that you're here today, and I'm so happy that you made the choice to spend this next hour with us. Every Friday, we try to empower you through choice, and I'm so excited to have one of my friends, my mentors, somebody who is a creative collaborator with me, who inspires me every time we have a conversation. I've got PJ of PJ's Wisdom in with me today. He's an award-winning international speaker, resiliency trainer, coach, author, and of course, adventurer. And he's a leading authority on the resilience and overcoming obstacles. What I love about PJ is that he uses his intimate understanding of breaking through physical and mental barriers to lead his audiences and clients out of limitation and into a real freedom of possibility. He's the go-to mindset. He's the go-to advisor for executives, entrepreneurs, athletes, actors, military and law enforcement personnel. You name it. This guy has talked to them. I'm so happy that PJ's in with us today because every day we work on transformation and we do it through choice. And he's going to tell us how. PJ, welcome in. Thanks, my friend. I am so happy we get to have a conversation again on air.
Woo-woo! Always glad to be here. I love you so much. It's amazing to be in your presence and the energy that you bring for other people. Transforms people. That alone transforms people because it's infectious. People get excited to be in your presence, and then that excitement rolls over into the rest of their life. So I am truly honored to be here, and we're going to give them all kinds of juicy, delicious stuff today.
Exactly. And let's start out with the banner behind me is actually celebrating a collaborative effort that you and I have done with 13 or 14 other authors. Could be an offer. But we're waiting anxiously for the final version of Healthy Thinking, Happy Life, Mastering Your Mindset to Get Shit Done. This is a collaborative effort that literally any day now it's going to drop on Amazon. And we just want to invite our listeners to keep a lookout for it. When it comes on Amazon, download the 99-cent Kindle version, read a couple chapters. And our goal is to be like a bestseller, an international bestseller. And the only way we can do it is if people read it and give us a comment and tell us what they like or don't like about the book. So nice little plug. Let's talk a little bit about kind of your chapter, what you contributed to it, and why it was important for you to jump on this collaboration with everybody.
Okay. Well, the name of my chapter is called Rise Above Your Distractions. And if we think about living a healthy life, right, and a happy life, we have to get past our distractions. If we don't get past our distractions, the distractions act like an anchor. They either pull us down or hold us back from really going where we want to go. But the moment you start to release the distractions, all of a sudden you're taking action that's moving you in the direction that you want to be moved in, that you're being called to move towards. And that's when the healthy living, the happiness, the joy, the excitement, the enthusiasm for life starts to rise because you're letting go of the things that used to hold you back or stop you.
I couldn't have said it any better. And I'm nodding my head frantically with you as you're saying this, because as you know, I have been in the throes of working to basically sell my house. So literally in the last 3.5 weeks, yes. I've listed my house. I've gone through all the distractions of not wanting to purge, not wanting to pack, not wanting to paint or do projects, and then having to because I'm on a deadline. Yeah. And everything you're telling me about distractions fits into this concept of this big, gigantic decision that I'm making to change my life, change where I'm living, change my lifestyle, be happier. Because there are multiple occasions, I can't tell you how many times I've walked into a room and boxes and packing paper has thrown up all over the place. And I walk in and I'm so distracted by the clutter, where I'm supposed to start, what I want to get done, the big list that's looming behind me. Yeah. And I just stall out. Yeah. And I think that's a perfect metaphor for like what we do in our regular everyday life and how we can use awareness to actually break that cycle of being distracted and not getting where we want to be.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And what I really hear also is that this level of distraction creates an overwhelm. And overwhelm creates distraction. So they work in tandem with each other. And the name of my chapter, again, is Rise Above Your Distractions. So think about if you're in the mix and the chaos of anything that you're experiencing. And remember, too, that distraction is not just external things. Distractions are internal things. Like, what are you thinking and feeling? What's your mind wandering off to do instead of where you should be focusing? And so many people experience that, like, when they're reading, they're like, I can't comprehend what I read. You know why? Because you're distracted. Your mind's gone over there. You haven't brought it back.
Yeah, my wife would accuse me of having the squirrel brain and always being distracted. You know, we'd start a project and it'd be like, I disappeared. It's like, where did you go? I'm like, I had this other thing to do. And she's like, that wasn't the priority. That wasn't the list today. So I'm a victim of my own internal distractions because I know that there's a lot of times that I'll be doing one thing and then I'll get this thought and the thought feels like it's urgent and I have to act on it now. And then I go act on that. And then sometimes I'll walk into a second room. I'm like, why did I come in here? Yes. Right. I'm like, my brain is trying to manage too much information all at once. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm a recovering squirrel brain, but I have an active one and it takes me a lot to really let go of the distraction. So how do you coach or advise people to kind of even start if they have a squirrel brain like I do?
Well, let me add to that real quick, if I can. I want to add to that just a little. So I feel like you're so curious, and there are a lot of people that probably listen to this podcast that are also really quite curious about life. And so while there is that squirrel brain, it's also like a little puppy in my world, because puppies, you can trust your dog to go out and come back, right? A lot of times you go hiking, the dog runs off. We don't worry about the dog at all, right? We're concerned about the puppy. Why? Because that smells good. Oh, that smells good. What's that? That smells good. Pretty soon the puppy's lost and doesn't know how to come home, right? And so that can create a sense of overwhelm. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to get back. I don't know how to get back in control. I don't know how to get my life back, right? And so all of that stress starts to rise because you allow distractions right from the very beginning. So remember when I said that the name of my chapter is Rise Above Your Distractions. Think about if you start to float up just like a drone, and you start to float up above the chaos, all of a sudden you float up above the chaos, you dissociate from that chaos. You're no longer in that the craziness of whatever your life is causing right now. When you pull yourself out of that situation, you can look down and say, okay, what is it that I want to do? What is it that feels like the right next step for me? And then you can step back into the chaos and crazy and take action. So I teach my students something called PDA, Power Decision Action. And if you're in your power, you can make a decision. But if you're not in power, if you're feeling disempowered, oh, it's so hard to make a decision. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to order. I don't know what to say. I don't know what I should do first or second or third. I just feel so overwhelmed because you're disempowered. So one of the things I teach is get in your power. That can be just simply alignment. That can be going for a jog, so everything else washes away. It can be going into meditation. It can be prayer. It can be art. It can just be standing there and going, okay, hold on. I'm going to let everything go. I'm just going to feel my internal core. All right, cool. Now I feel that core. Now I feel like I'm empowered. I feel still inside. I feel committed. I feel strong. Now I can say, okay, what's my next decision? I don't have to make a decision. I can just ask, what's my next act? The decision will come through. And then the A, you take the action instantly. You can't let any gap happen between distraction and action. You must move fast, between the decision and the action. You must move quickly into action, even if it's one tiny thing. But you can stay in power all day before you make a decision.
I love the fact that you, in our lifetime, you redefined PDA, right? Because high school, we knew it as something completely different. So power, decision, action.
I like PDA. It's super cute.
It's right, but it's way more appropriate in our adult life and probably more actionable in our adult life. But everything you're talking about, it really comes back to the work that you and I and Nikki Gangemi have been doing about creating awareness about perspective, right? If you are like the drone and you lift up out of the chaos, you're now above it. You're seeing a bigger picture. Your eyes are wider. You see it from a different angle. You know, drones have different lenses on them that they could zoom in, zoom out, fisheye, wide angle. So you're just really speaking my language when we talk about choice and perspective, because first of all, you have to choose to step out of it. Yes. You have to say, whatever I'm doing right now isn't serving me, or I don't like the way I'm feeling, and I have to do something different regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
But then the thing I teach my clients is sometimes one choice is only there to inform the next choice.
Yes.
So if you're able to step out or rise above your distraction, maybe you'll be able to prioritize a little differently.
Yes.
Maybe you'll be able to ask yourself, wow, is that really important? Is it important right now? And
yes.
that's a powerful to help people step into their power. I like to encourage people to add for now or today at the beginning or end of whatever decision or conversation they're having, right? I have enough information today to move forward a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't need all the information. I just need a little bit to change my perspective, shift into my power, and shift into action.
Yeah. And for you to be able to stay focused on that, it requires you to have vision about what you want, intention about the actions that you're taking, and requisite focus, required focus, because you're going to be distracted by noises outside. You're going to be distracted by feelings inside of your body. You're going to be distracted by things that happen inside of your mind. This morning, I had a really interesting experience. I don't play video games. I just don't. Like, once in a while, I'll play, like, solitaire. Couldn't even think of what it was called. Once in a while, I'll play, like, a solitaire game on my computer. And I was starting my day, and darned if I didn't have, like, this massive distraction that was just calling me to play solitaire. And it literally felt inside, like, something, like, there was like a rope or something tied to me, pulling me towards the mouse to use the mouse just to like move things around and create this like dopamine dump inside of my brain, because there'd be some lots of colors and things moving around on the screen. And I, like, because I could feel it, I was aware of it. And because I was aware, I was able to make a decision based on what it was that I wanted. So I felt it. I let myself feel it. And then I said, okay, what do I want? And I was like, I want to play this game. And I was like, no, I don't. So I had to get into my power. I literally closed my eyes for a minute and I said, okay, what is it that I want? And I just allowed myself to get still. When I got still, the distraction just dissipated. It just evaporated. And all of a sudden, there was a commitment to the next step in front of me, which was business related, not video game related. So it was a really weird, interesting experience, because I haven't felt that kind of draw or pull. It was literally like an addiction. It was crazy. It's crazy.
Well, and it's good that you have that ability to recognize it. The unfortunate part of our digital world and our instant gratification with, you know, TikTok and Instagram, and I'm not saying they're bad things, but I'm saying that they're so full of that dopamine dump, you know, funny cat videos and dog videos and that thing that with goofy music and whatever people do, it fulfills something in our brain that is actually missing from a regular everyday life. Maybe we don't have joy in our life. Maybe we don't have humor. Maybe we don't have, you know, mistakes. Maybe we live in an environment where you just can't fail, right? So the digital world is really good at giving us these short but addictive clips of a way a life could be if, and my favorite question, what if we made different choices. The digital media world is really good at convincing us that we might be able to get it. The reality is that we have to take responsibility, which is one of, you know, you talk about awareness, your second step in one of your coaching programs is responsibility. You have to take the responsibility for not only what you want, but what you're not doing, right? Are you really living the life you want? Are you really living on purpose? Or are you just going through the motions and letting TikTok feed your soul?
Yeah, I really love what you said right there. When you said how did you phrase it? You said it's a really digital world is really good at giving you what you're not getting in your real life, something like that. And I hadn't necessarily thought about it like that. I mean, I thought about it like that, but maybe in a slightly different way. And I love what you're saying, because you're saying you're probably not really out there living life and getting the joy and the experience from living and doing the things that you really truly want to do. So you're taking this sort of secondary route to the dopamine dump. And dopamine, we think, is all about like feeling good, but dopamine is also a motivator. It's much more closely tied to motivation. So that's why it grabs a hold of you and pulls you in to do it, you're motivated to do it. It's so much easier to play that video game or get on TikTok or watch YouTube videos. It's so much easier to do that because the motivation is drawing you in that direction. The dopamine is motivating you to go and do that so you can be excited and entertained versus doing the things that you know that if you do these things, they're going to make your life better. Right? That doesn't sound as much fun. It's not as exciting. So you have to like shift and actually, in some cases, force yourself to take the action that's the right action to take. But you don't have to force yourself. You change the excitement. You've got the excitement on the digital world. What if you just take it off and you go, I'm going to put my excitement on this? And I can literally put my excitement on anything that I want. I get excited about this. I'm like, this is going to be cool. I'm excited. The dopamine draws me in that direction, pulls me towards the work or the relationship or the study or the book I want to read or the book I want to write. It pulls me in that direction. And all you have to do is just go, oh, hold on. My being needs something that's exciting. It needs something enticing and delicious. It needs a little dopamine dump. So let me put the dopamine dump in the other activities that are going to get me where I ultimately really truly want to be, not stuck in a computer somewhere.
Right. And that's the deeper level of rising above the distraction. You have a little paragraph or sentence from your book that you wanted to share with people. Would be now a good time to bring that up?
And if you want, sure, I can read something. So rise above your distraction. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I want to connect our audience to this conversation we're having. You and I could spend hours talking about dopamine dumps and technology versus real life. But, you know, for the people that are listening, it's Friday afternoon. What's one thing that they can do to kind of get back into their power? I think your book, I think your chapter leads into that.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. So I just want to also say this, that I have a quote that says, think your thoughts, don't let your thoughts think you. And that's how I started my chapter originally. Think your thoughts, don't let your thoughts think you. So when you're being drawn into or attracted to something, are you thinking those thoughts? Or is something inside of your brain thinking you to feel those things? So be aware. Take control of yourself. All right. In life, you're going to experience resistance, setbacks, and delays. And most of them are going to be your fault. Eek! Not someone else's fault. Ouch! I know that stings. However, it's true. Your greatest adversary will not be another person or a difficult situation. Your greatest adversary will be your undisciplined mind. Your undisciplined mind. Like it or not, you're 100% responsible for how you choose to think. And depending on how you use your mind, it will either drive you to success or defeat you in some other capacity. Simply put, success is achieved by those who refuse to accept failure. Refusing to accept failure takes vision, intention, and personal responsibility. This attitude creates a drive in you that both energizes you and opens up the doors of possibility. It will make you resourceful and reveal opportunities you previously missed. And these opportunities will show themselves because you committed to an outcome instead of getting trapped by the distraction.
Pause right there. I'm hearing resourcefulness. I'm hearing choice. I'm hearing opportunity. Those are all power words, right? So that for people that are driving and listening to us, think of how your body feels when you hear the word possibility, opportunity. Like, I love the word resourcefulness because it just implies this sense of clever. In my head, I go back to old versions of MacGyver where you have a duct tape and a tube sock and a pocket knife and whatever happens to be floating by in that particular scene.
Yes.
But resourcefulness, our society doesn't remind us or teach us that we as humans have our own level of resourcefulness. And in fact, it actually teaches us the opposite. Not only if you're too resourceful, that can be a threat to the employer, the relationship, the dating situation, right? Because if you show that you're too resourceful, it actually shows someone else that they're not. And I want to flip the script on that. I want to have people stand in their resourcefulness and say, I can figure this out. I have the answers. I know how to get through this, even if I don't know all the steps. That's power.
And what if that resourcefulness, I'm using what if because it's on your shirt. What if that resourcefulness was filled with a sense of enthusiasm, and it inspired other people to come along with you? And what if your resourcefulness inspired other people to be creative? And what if your resourcefulness inspired other people to also become free? And what if your resourcefulness created this amazing, these amazing relationships and really moved the dial forward on your relationship, or moved the company's bottom line up, right? So you guys are making more money, or made, what if your resourcefulness made your relationship with your children better? Like, there's so many great things here if you choose not to allow yourself to get distracted, if you choose to rise above the distraction, if you choose to stay intentional and focused on your vision. And what is that vision? When you're committed, commitment gives birth to resilience. So what is it that you're committed to? Are you committed to making that relationship tighter and more beautiful? Are you committed to driving that business to success? Are you committed to making that painting that you've been talking about for 2 years? Or are you committed to, well, I'll just play this video game just for like 10 minutes. Or are you committed to, I'll just scroll 5 more times on Facebook. Or are you committed to, you know what, I'll just order pizza tonight and I'll make something delicious tomorrow.
My friends, this is why PJ of PJsWisdom.com is considered to be the go-to mindset advisor for executives, athletes, warriors, everyday individuals. If you're even remotely inspired by the enthusiasm that PJ has today for living life and not having limitations, I encourage you to look him up. How could people work with you, PJ, if they want to, or if they want you to come speak for them, which quite honestly, I highly encourage everybody in the world to get you on their stage, because just reading a piece of your chapter with vim and vigor and enthusiasm for life, I could sit and listen to that all day. So how do people work with you?
Well, you're very sweet. Thank you so much. You're so complimentary. Just check out pjswisdom.com. It's just the easiest. My social media links are there. PJSWisdom.com. PJSWISDOM.com.
.com.
I couldn't help myself.
You know, and I never get enough time with you, but we do have another guest coming up. We have Debbie Movesian coming up after the break, and she's going to talk to people about this kind of the same thing. Her word is resistance, and how you use resistance to move yourself forward. I'm going to give you the last parting word before we move to the next segment. What do people need to know when they go into their weekend and they're starting their life and they know that they want something different tomorrow?
Resistance and resilience work really beautifully together. Resistance is this idea of standing back. So you can stand back from opportunity, or somebody can offer a suggestion and you can stand firm and know, I'm not going to do it. Or you can say, you know what, I'm going to be resilient, and that sounds like something delicious, and you can commit your mind to it, and then the resilience and the resourcefulness will grow. So I would say, I would leave you with this one thought. What are you committed to? And what if you committed to something different? And I don't mean partial commitment. I mean fully committed. Are you 100% in, or are you only 97% in? Because that 3% will taint the rest of your experiences in your life.
I hear you 100%. So what are you committed to? What if you chose to be committed a little bit more? And as the second question on the back of my shirt says, why not try?
Why not try?
Thanks for being with me today. We got to have another conversation at another time, but we got to bring in Debbie here real quickly. Have a good rest of your day, PJ. And we're going to go to a quick break and then we're going to come right back. Everybody,
love you guys. With us. Thanks, Dad. Love you.
Bye. Yeah, bye-bye. Welcome in, everybody, to the Diane McClay Show. Thank you for being here. We are so excited that you made a choice to spend your time and your Friday afternoon with us. As always, we're always trying to put messages and information out there to help you empower your life through choice. My guest today is Debbie Movesian, a current physician's assistant with more than 20 years of experience in her profession. As a success and empowerment coach on the side, she's passionate about helping female entrepreneurs confidently express their value, products, and services to live an abundant and joyful life. And her mission statement is that she believes that every woman deserves to be successful doing what she loves without being afraid to show up as her true authentic self. Debbie, welcome in. I'm so excited because you and I are working on a book project that's about to launch. Thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you. I am so excited to do this. Finally.
Yeah, I know, right? We talked back in November and you've been busy and I've been busy, but the universe has aligned to bring us together today. So help me out. Just set the scene a little bit for our listeners. how did you kind of get here? Not the whole detailed biography, but why did you decide to contribute to this book? And then give our listeners a little background about who you are and what you're trying to put into the world.
Yeah, so the reason why I was excited to participate in this book is because I am all about this whole idea that it's how we think that determines how we live, right? And if we want to be happy, we have to be thinking good thoughts and have good, healthy, happy thoughts. So I also am super passionate about not just quickly saying, oh, all you have to do is think something positive and you're going to live a happy life. So I have, because of my experience through my journey, have really just understood what it takes to get to that healthy thinking place. And so because of being so involved in this journey personally, and now doing this for my clients, I was like, absolutely, I have to be part of this book because I have so much to say about how to get there without just, like I said, quickly trying to convince yourself you're happy.
Right. Because I mean, I think that's a misnomer, right? Especially people, I've had friends who experienced depression and they say one of the most annoying, irritating and irresponsible things that another person, especially a friend or a family member, could do is to say, just get over it. Just get through it. Suck it up. Change your mindset. It's easy, right? That's one of the worst things that we can do. And depression is definitely one of those things. But even if it's not depression, you can't just tell somebody, hey, don't be sad. Get over it, right? So in your journey, can you cite something that maybe you had difficulty with or maybe a client has had difficulty with and how you've been able to help navigate yourself or them through the thing to actually have that healthier thinking mindset and a happy life?
Oh, absolutely. When I decided, so as you said, I'm a PA, I've been a PA for years. I decided I wanted to do something else. That's a completely, you know, a whole long story. But when I did decide I wanted to create a business, all kinds of challenges came up. And I signed up for program after program and tried new strategies. And what I ran into was I was struggling and I was running into coaches saying, you just have to change your thoughts. You just have to change your mindset. It's because of your mindset is why you're not getting the results you want. So what happened was I turned that on myself and I thought, what's wrong with me that I'm having all these negative thoughts? And it just spiraled in an opposite direction because here I was having challenges, having negative thoughts, and I thought the solution was pretend they're not there and be positive. And that did not work. And it doesn't work for all of my clients. And that's why they come to me, because it's like a breath of fresh air when you find someone that says, let's explore those negative feelings. Let's see what's underneath those. And let's actually get to the bottom of that so that you can get to the other side. And I'm just, that's my big passion, is that we just can't keep telling people to ignore their feelings and they're going to go away. Like you said, in my world, it's kind of like push through, think positive, you know, be grateful for what you have. And it's like, at the end of the day, when you're struggling, that's not what you need to hear. That doesn't really help. So when I learned that actually what does help is going, like leaning into the emotions, like being really honest with yourself of what you're feeling and leaning into them, that's where the answer is. It's because when you lean into your feelings and you really ask yourself some good questions, you get the answers that you need of why those negative feelings are there. And when you're able to feel good about justifying why they're there instead of that there's something wrong, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Then you're able to let go of them.
Well, and it sounds like the word that's coming to my mind as you're talking is it sounds like it, acknowledgement and validation, right? You're saying, what is the emotion that I'm feeling? And then is there a reason or a source underneath that? And one of the things I coach on, let me just tell you, since, you know, we're getting to know each other, that I left my dream career after 17 years. And I left, that's a longer story, but the essential part of it is that at the end of a very long review process, the agency offered me a position 6 hours away from my family and home. And they essentially said, this is what we can do for you. We don't really want you in leadership in this spot, but we'll put you over here. And I think they had the expectation that I was just going to take it, right? I was a career individual. I had the value system that once you get a job like that, you stay in it for 30 years, you climb the ladder, yada, yada, yada. And it didn't fit. It didn't feel right. It was wrong the way they did it, in my opinion. It didn't align with my values. And I started coaching about choice and courage because literally in my chest, when I realized I don't have to take the thing that somebody else created for me because they thought it was in my best interest. They don't know me. They don't know what my dreams and goals and passions are. They certainly aren't doing anything to help me get there. Why would I stay? Literally, it was like a switch, like kaboom, like almost an explosion in my heart that made me realize I have choice. I have power in this situation, right? So I'm called to share with people how to tap into that power. And the very first thing is what you're talking about is called awareness. As soon as you have awareness, you can't not have it. Yep. And if you choose to lean into it and ask some questions about it, then your power goes up, which is why you and I are talking, because we're both really big on making sure people connect and use the power that they have within them. Would you agree with me?
Oh, totally. 100%. Yep.
Yeah. And I'm wearing a shirt today. I'm calling it now my uniform shirt. But for the listeners who can't see me, the question on the front is, what if? What if there was a different way of looking at your situation? What if the emotions you're feeling have a message for you? What if they have information that could help you move forward or let go? And the question I have on the back of my shirt is, why not? Why not explore it? Why not try? Right? And so you and I connected kind of over that what if question, because the whole goal is to shift where we are and to get to where we want to be. Do you want to expand on that a little bit, kind of how that relates to what you're putting into the world?
Yeah. Yeah. So as I said, I was in a career. You could have said it was like a perfect job on paper. It had, checked all the boxes, but there was something missing. And through this long journey, what I came to realize is that my life has been based on decisions of what I should do. Should based on, and like what you just said, they don't know what my dreams and my hopes are. Maybe they even do know, but there's all of this pressure outside of us or from within of what we should be doing. And that often leads us into a place where we're like, not loving this, or feeling unfulfilled, or feeling stuck, or feeling frustrated, or whatever. So a big realization that I've had through my journey was that that was what my life was about, is that I was making my decisions based on what I should do and not at all about what I want to do, because I wasn't raised that way. I was raised to go to school, get good grades, get a very stable career, make sure you do math and science because you want to make sure it's a good job. It's going to be stable. It's going to pay you. There was never any, well, what do you really want? What are you passionate about? What could you do every day without getting paid? There was none of that. It was very geared towards doing what I should do to be safe and secure, right? So once I started to realize that that's how I ended up where I was, it was like, what if I made decisions based on what I wanted to do instead of what I should be doing? Yeah. And that's where, like you said at the very beginning, that's kind of where my mission statement comes from, is that I believe most women are doing what they should be doing, whether that's in a relationship, whether that's in their career, whether that's the way that they eat, or, what they do to make money. Yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm loving how lit up you are, right? I mean, the more we're talking, like your face is glowing, you're like super getting into it. And that tells me that you have a nice career that is keeping you safe and stable and financially engaged and also intellectually engaged. But there's also another piece of you that isn't being fed by that industry and by that profession. And you've had the courage to lean in, create some exploring, create some awareness. And then you go to my next step, which I talk about, which is as soon as you can create options, your power goes up. So it sounds to me like you looked at some options that you could do for yourself. You started exploring. And now really you're at this place in your leadership and your entrepreneur business that you really know what feeds you. And by your journey, you also know what can also feed other women. And that's what you're passionate about. I love when I talk to people who
lean into their passion, because it's like every minute they talk about it, it's almost like they expand during the middle of the conversation. You are so lit up right now about this. So I want to dig in a little bit. What's the message that you want women entrepreneurs out there to hear? You're shouting from the rooftops. Everybody's tuning to listen to you, Debbie. What is it that you want them to know that you can help them with?
I want them to know that if they're not happy with where they're at, that there's a way out. There's always a way out. And a lot of the people that I come across that I end up working with, they feel that they are stuck. They're not sure how or if they can do it. And it's because there's so many layers of that should and that doubt and the fear and all of the things. And it's like their true self is underneath all of that. And so it's like, if you feel like there's something missing, or if you want something that you don't have, like there's a reason for that. Like, don't ignore that. And like, that goes back to that whole, like, women are stuck in this life of like doing things they should do. And it doesn't have to be that way. And so that's my main message. It doesn't have to be that way. The reason why it seems like a unsurmountable mountain is because there's just these layers upon layers upon layers of people telling you can't, or you're thinking that you shouldn't, or you just have fears and doubts. And there's reasons why those are there. And that's exactly what I help my clients to break through, so that they can get closer and closer and closer to what it is that they want.
Right. And that's the reason why I love this collaboration that you and I and the other 13 authors have done on this book. Again, Healthy Thinking, Happy Life, Master Your Mindset to Get Shit Done. First of all, this is coming out on Amazon. I mean, we are waiting for the copy to come back from the formatters as you and I are having this conversation, right? So what we really want our listeners to do is, and we'll put an email blast out. We'll let people know that when it's available, but we really, really believe in this book. There are 15 different stories, different viewpoints, different authors, different sets of ahas and takeaways, and it's easily consumable, right? So this is going to come out on Amazon. And then what we'd love for our listeners to do is Google Healthy Thinking, Happy Life, download the 99-cent Kindle version, and then read a chapter or two, and then post a review up on Amazon, so that we really can show the world that this is not only bestseller type stuff, but it's something, it's coffee table reading that needs to be in everybody's living room, right? Tell me a little bit about why you joined the book and a little bit about your chapter.
Yeah. So the reason why I wanted to join the book is, again, I think that there's so much misconception out there about people being able to just think positive and then they'll be happy. And so in my chapter, I go, I talk about the two really simple questions to ask to get to the bottom of, what's keeping you where you're at. And those questions are, am I happy? And then the second question is, what do I want? And so my invitation is for people to ask themselves those questions, which sound very simple, but can be very challenging to answer, and just leaning into the answers, because we can scare ourselves away with what comes up when we ask that question. And that's how it started for me. I was asked that question of, are you happy? And the answer was not, hell yeah. It was, uh-oh, why am I not saying hell yeah? And so, that's like really what started my journey, was that initial question. And so in my chapter, I talk about, those powerful questions and just really leaning into finding the answers, which do lead to a lot of thoughts and emotions. And then, what to do once you start having those thoughts and emotions come up.
I love how you keep saying leaning in. And as coaches, it's easy for us to say that. But in my own journey, I know that when someone challenged me to lean in my body, I actually felt, and this is where you talk about feeling the emotions and naming them, but I would feel resistance. I don't want to lean in. Why should I lean in? Ooh, that's scary. If I lean in, I don't know what I'm going to find if I lean in. And in the beginning of my journey, it was easy to skip the lean in part. It was easy to not do it. So my question to you would be is, if our listeners are feeling a little bit of that resistance in their heart, their chest, maybe in their diaphragm, in their body, about being challenged to lean in, how would you coach them to take that first step?
Well, that's so interesting that you're talking about that resistance, because I actually speak about that in my chapter. And the reason why there's that resistance is because there's a misalignment between what you say that you want and what your beliefs are and your thoughts and emotions are about it. And so if you're feeling resistance, then it's like, that's where the money is, right? That's what gets to be unpacked and explored. And so I would say, first of all, the awareness that that's natural. That is part of it. You will 100%, if you want something that you don't have right now, you will go through resistance to get it. Absolutely, without a question. So it's, what do you do with that resistance? Well, it's just take it one step at a time. Just ask yourself, what is it you're feeling? What's underneath it? Why are you feeling it? Where are you feeling it? And just be curious about it. Don't put too much pressure on yourself that you have to figure it out overnight or get rid of it. That's a big other misconception, is we don't get rid of these feelings. We just try to find out, what are they trying to tell us? So for example, if you feel like you're stuck in a job that you don't love and you want to start a business, but you just have so much anxiety about taking that first step of figuring out what to do, it's like, okay, well, let's just talk about, why is it that you want to get out of your job? What about starting a business excites you? And just starting to be super curious and just ask yourself more and more questions, I think is a great way to start just breaking down the resistance.
Yeah, your answer is perfect. And as you were talking, I'm kind of a word nerd, and you say resistance. And a lot of people perceive that resistance is a force that's pushing against, which is true in physics. But think of any mechanical tool. Think of your car, a bicycle, electricity in your home. You actually have to have resistance in order to move forward. Think about a bike. If a bike doesn't have a chain gear on it, which connects the front wheel to the back wheel, there's no resistance. If anybody's ridden a bike and they're riding super fast and the chain pops off, you have no resistance. The pedals just go around. The bike doesn't go anywhere, right? But when the chain is on the front sprocket and it's aligned properly and it's aligned on a back sprocket, it's now creating resistance where every time you push down on a bike pedal, because there's resistance in the chain, energy is being transferred to the gears, the bike moves forward, right? It's no different than a car. It's a little less obvious in a car because everything is automated. But if you think of driving a stick shift car, the minute you put the car in gear, the engine has resistance. If you put your car in four-wheel drive, there's resistance. You have resistance in your electrical system because if it comes right off of the power pole at 440 volts, it's not going to be really good for anybody, right? There's resistance in the line, which allows the energy to flow. So I actually am getting excited now because you're talking about resistance, and people see resistance as a negative thing. But the aha I just had in my head is, we have to have resistance in order to move forward. How ironic is that?
Yep. And right? Because if you didn't have the resistance, you would already be there. Like the resistance is the way through, you know, it's the clue that, yep, you're on track. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Do you happen to have your chapter with you? I don't mean to put you on the spot. If you don't have it, it's fine. But if you happen to, yeah, I mean, if you don't, it's cool. If you had a paragraph that you wanted, or a sentence or two that you wanted to share with our listeners. I put you on the spot, so you don't have to.
Yeah. Let's see. Maybe we can just have pause for a second.
Yeah, no problem. And I'll edit this part up. I resume recording. Yeah, so, you know, the resistance piece is super exciting to me, and I'm so glad that we're kind of both feeding off of each other on that. So that makes me think of, you know, what we feel in our body. So your chapter, do you have a piece that maybe you want to share with the audience, a paragraph or a sentence that might speak to that connection?
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. So, and when I got to the truth of where my thoughts and emotions were coming from and learned how to release them, I knew I had discovered something amazing. This is what that little nudge inside me was guiding me to find all those years. I was blown away by what I was learning about my mind, my body, and my nervous system, and about me. The fastest, most effective way to change our negative thoughts is to go to the root source of why those negative thoughts are there in the first place, and then uproot them at a mind-body level, which goes beyond the logical brain. All of our thoughts and emotions are associated with events and experiences from our past, our beliefs, and our fears. We can't just think those away. We must acknowledge them and clear the negative emotional charge that we have associated with them, which gets stored in our body and our subconscious mind. So a lot of the work that I do is heavily focused on the mind-body connection. And so what happens is we have a thought and it literally triggers in a response, a physical response in our body that stimulates a release of hormones that cause all of the stuff that we'd rather not feel. It causes our heart to race when we're nervous. It causes us to feel sweaty, palmy, armpits sweating, just wanting to run out of, you know, the room, hide. It causes all of those sensations, nausea, upset stomach, all of it. And what most people just try to do is they try to use their logical brain to change their thinking, their behaviors, their habits, everything. And what's actually the truth is that our logical brains is our conscious awareness is only controlling 5%, 5 to 10% of what we actually think, say, do, all of it. And what really is driving all of our thoughts and our behaviors is the subconscious mind. And that's the 90 to 95% that is happening basically automatically. And the way that our subconscious mind works with our logical mind is in this like mind-body connection. And so when we have a thought that might trigger fear, then it's like this repetitive cycle that's happening in our system. So we think about something, it triggers fear. It literally is a physical sensation in our body. And when we're able to acknowledge that and do some work, so like I use a clinically proven mind-body technique with my clients where we literally like dissociate the two. So it's no longer this stuck cycle. And it's just amazing. You start to have thoughts that are no longer triggering these reactions in your body.
So then you can actually increase the capacity of the brain that's normally functioning at 5%. You can actually expand its imprint and make it function a little like 6%, 10%.
Yeah. If you think about it, so if you can imagine that only 5 to 10% of what you do is very, you know, consciously chosen. And then on top of that, you bring in all of this like stress. So, if you have a thought and it triggers this response in your body, you can think about this like fight or flight response, right? That it kind of, you think about it like a screen that comes up in front of your face. Okay. And so how clearly are you thinking? How well are you going to make decisions if you're like looking through this screen? But when you do this mind-body technique where you're actually, you're lowering that stress response, you're literally lowering the screen so you can see more clearly. Your mind is just more able to focus, make good decisions in alignment with what you actually want, not the fears that caused the screen to be there in the first place. And it gives you the ability to just be more focused and clear.
Yeah. You describe it perfectly. So if we do this enough, theoretically, if we practice connecting the subconscious mind or the unconscious mind, that people use different terms, but if we practice understanding what's happening underneath the surface and we bring it into our conscious awareness, you're saying that we can now expand our conscious awareness to actually manage the things that's underneath the surface. Going back to the awareness, you can't change anything if you're not aware, but if you have awareness, so if somebody has a fear of animals, like dogs, then as soon as they know that there's a dog approaching, their fight or flight response is kicked in. But if they know that they're feeling flushed or they're sweaty or they're going to throw up because they're scared, as soon as they know that, they can start doing some breathing techniques or mindfulness techniques to calm that down, which then in turn, that dog is still approaching, but the threat level has been perceived differently by the brain. Is that right?
Yep. And you can even do it ahead of time. So if you know you have a fear to something, you can literally do exercises ahead of time that would like simulate it. And by lowering the stress response associated with it, even just when you're thinking about it, it can then change the way you respond in a real life situation.
Right. So now you're actually building a bridge between the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, and you're strengthening how we, now you're actually moving into response mode rather than react mode. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how come they don't teach this in school? Like, how come we, why do we have to be like in our 50s or late 40s to start doing this healthy work on the inside of ourselves? Like, how come it takes a crisis to figure out that something we've been taught our whole entire life isn't working?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question. And I mean, that because we said resistance is the thing. So until you go to step into something that is not part of your normal paradigm that you were raised with, I mean, a lot of people don't even need to realize this stuff. If they just go through life and they just do whatever they thought they were supposed to do and they don't really step the outside of that, there's no reason to even go into this whole discussion, right? That what we're talking about is when people want something different than what they have. And it just does. It takes having the awareness that you're not content and satisfied and fulfilled where you're at, starting to take some action towards it, and then feeling the resistance that gets associated with it. So it's right. Just part of human nature.
Right. So you're like the chain on the bike, right? You as the coach who helps people identify the resistance, you're like the bike mechanic on the side of the road who's like, hey, you got a flat tire? You don't have any resistance in your tires? Your bike's not going forward? Come coach with me and let me help you. Let me help you show yourself how to put the chain back on so that you can move yourself forward.
Yeah.
That's a good analogy, right?
Yep.
So what are we missing? I mean, we only have a few more minutes left, but what are we missing about you, what you contribute, or the book that you'd like to share with people?
I guess I would say that, not that we're missing anything, but just to kind of, you know, summarize, what I do is I help women who are feeling stuck. They know they want something more. And they lack the confidence. They have a lot of self-doubt of whether they can actually achieve it and get to where it is they want. They know what they should be doing, but for some reason, they're just not taking the action. They are feeling like, well, I'm a really smart, educated person. I should be able to figure this out. So they're struggling on their own. And it's like, those are the specific ways or instances where most of the women are that I work with. And it's like, that is exactly what I can help you break out of. I mean, it's so common. And it is hard to do alone. It really is hard to figure all of this out on your own. I had to have a coach help me. It's just a coach kind of shines a flashlight on your blind spots, on all of these things, the resistance, right? Pulls up extra resistance for you. And I mean, it does take someone to kind of, you know, guide you along. Yeah. So yeah, we kind of touched on like the first two steps are really feeling the emotions and, you know, leaning into the emotions and then asking yourself some really good questions, being really, really curious why they're there. And then the third one is accepting those answers, accepting the fear, accepting the doubt, accepting all of those things. Like you just said, yeah, perfect.
And I had a fourth step, which is taking action. After you do those things, nothing will change unless you take some action. You know, if people like what they're hearing from you and they feel like something needs to change in their life, but they're not quite sure how to start, how can they work with you or how can they find you?
Yep. So they can find me on Facebook at Debbie Mosesian. And I have a private Facebook group called Courageous and Confident Women. And then the third one is the website is www.debbiemosesian.com/welcome.
Debbie, thank you very much for being here for today and for contributing to the book. I have not read your chapter yet. I'm looking forward to it because I'm super excited about a lot of the things we talked about today. So just thank you for realizing that you have a passion and that you have a skill set that women entrepreneurs need. And as always, I'm going to just thank our listeners for tuning in. Take care of each other. Have a good weekend. Have a good Friday. And use choice to move yourself forward. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Diane McClay Show, where you are empowered to enact change in your life through choice. You know that little voice in your head that's been telling you to pursue that passion project? Or maybe it's been screaming for you to go outside and explore the great outdoors. That voice is you, and you deserve to be heard. listen, make a choice, make a change, and watch yourself grow. For more information about Diane or to work with her personally, visit DianeMcClay.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.